if you're making content today, I would take anything that's getting any traffic or traction today and keep improving it. Make it better, add more to it. Because if you just set it and forget it and think you're just going to walk away and it's going to keep getting traffic forever, it's not. It'll eventually lose over time. And so one of your biggest opportunities is your own existing content. Keep optimizing that content, making it better.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. My name is Jonathan Gandolf, founder and CEO of The Juice, and your host of today's episode, which I am really excited about. We've got Sal Sura here, who calls Indianapolis home, like myself, which I think is pretty cool. Although we've already had a debate a little bit on football teams, we don't share a common interest there. We'll save that for a different episode or maybe a different show altogether. But Sal is an SEO expert. He leads content and SEO as director of content and SEO at Seamless.ai. So I think he's a really cool intersection here of data, AI, SEO. I'm excited to dig into all of it. But before I do that, Sal, I'd love to let you kind of introduce yourself and share a little bit about your background in your own words.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. And pleasure being here. Great honor. Thank you for having me on today. I'm super happy to be here. I'm a director of SEO and content at Seamless AI. Been with them just over a year now. Really exciting adventure to be in with a young and growing startup. I came from an enterprise world, through Source Interlink and through Angi. So I'm used to working with large brands that have millions and millions of pages, large footprints. Been doing SEO and content marketing for almost 30 years now, to believe it or not. Started in the late 90s, coded my first website in 95, realized after I put it out that how does anybody find this thing? So started doing SEO in about 96, and then started offering services professionally by about 99. So a little bit over about 25 years now, been doing SEO professionally. And I've seen a lot evolve over the years. I was doing things before Google was even around, back when you were just submitting your site to different engines through categories. And in fact, I did a SEMA keynote a few years ago about that same topic, about how search engines have evolved over the years and where things are going. I've definitely watched how the industry's evolved and shaped over the years and where things are, kind of moving towards, and some of the new players that are starting to come up, like with ChatGPT and Perplexity, and how they're going to continue to evolve this industry and whether or not they're going to cut into that dominant market share that Google has pretty much controlled for the last two decades, whether it was through legal or non-legal methods, as the DOG has now labeled them a monopoly. So we'll wait to see how things shake out for Google here over the next couple of years. But I think the landscape as a whole in the search industry is one of the most interesting times I think I've seen since the, kind of beginning of the internet when search engines first started evolving. I don't think I've seen a more turbulent and unspecific kind of direction that where we're at right now. Everybody's trying to vie for what's next. AI obviously dominating a lot of the conversations now with folks like Bing incorporating ChatGPT into their co-pilot, others looking at incorporating more search. Now Google with their AIOs, their artificial intelligent overviews, everybody seem to get into the game somewhere. And, whether or not the consumers have the appetite for it and whether this continues to ramp up over the next couple of years is definitely going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I have so many questions. I'm going to geek out on this conversation. So I got to hold back like six follow-up questions I want to ask right now, because we always ask our guests on the Content Cocktail Hour. The first question, the icebreaker, perhaps no pun intended there. What's your favorite beverage you're enjoying nowadays?
So for me, when I'm outside of my morning routine every day starts off with my own handmade smoothies. I'm a big proponent of real natural fruit and drink. So every morning I start my day off with a couple pounds of fruit, and that gets me going. I'm not a coffee drinker. I don't need caffeine, but I need my fruit and smoothies in the morning. If I could have smoothies all day, I think I would, but it gets very expensive and tough to clean up. So after my smoothies are done, I go into what I'm really getting into right now is those peach iced teas. I think it may be just a summer thing, but I really, really enjoy the peach iced teas.
Love that. I love peach iced tea myself. So yeah, I'll need to, we should compare notes on how we make that or where we get it from. I love that. Well, cool. I'm maybe just kind of a lighthearted question here, but you mentioned you've been in SEO for almost 30 years. Is there like a small fraternity of people? Like, do you go to events where there's like 20 other people that have been doing SEO for that long? Like, that is crazy to me. And maybe just share a little bit about like your history of SEO and kind of what's kept you in SEO for that long.
Definitely. Great question. And yes, there is a little niche of us that we do know each other. And when we go out to conferences, we have lunch and we all have been corresponding for years. I was part of a couple groups of SEO out in Southern California. I lived out in California for many years where I started my SEO career. I just got out here to Indianapolis about 7-8 years ago. So prior to that, I was in SoCal and had the pleasure of working with some great people in San Diego and Orange County. In fact, a couple of them is no longer with us. I used to be part of the semantic group with Bill Schlosky, SEO by the Sea, who did a lot of the patent research for SEOs for many years on the Google patents. He passed away a couple of years ago. I was very sad about that. I actually got to have lunch with him at PubCon back in 2019, and he passed away about a year later. I was really close friends with him. And before he was the Google search liaison, Danny Sullivan lived down in Newport Beach with me. I used to see Danny a lot. Used to run into them at, you know, a lot of conferences and stuff when he used to run SES. And so, yeah, it's been a long time. I started going to conferences in the early 2000s, started meeting a lot of those original folks, and a lot of them are still into it today, which is kind of interesting. SEO is one of those niche industries where, you know, it's really hard to kind of break into and get some footing because there's no really colleges or anything that offers SEO education. You just kind of have to do it. And then as you get experience, more people will trust you. So when I first started getting into SEO back in the early 2000s professionally, there wasn't a whole lot of people that were doing it. And so the few that were, you kind of connected. And then when you were out doing conferences, you know, you would end up corresponding and saying hi and stuff. And so over the years, you know, you really kind of build up relationships. And what's interesting is people that got into this industry typically stayed in this industry, didn't usually get out. And so a lot of those same people are still doing it to this day, which, you know, is great. And so I've got some connections that, you know, it's nice to be able to reach out to people and ask what they're seeing and be able to bounce some ideas off folks when stuff comes out. Or, you know, I can kind of geek out on some of like the SEO technical stuff because I've been doing, you know, I started doing coding back in the 90s before there was even any coding programs. My first website, I wrote it on, you know, just Notepad because there was no HTML programs or anything. So you just had to learn how to code everything. So I come from a very like code heavy background. So I love doing technical SEO and getting into some really deep conversations with some of the technical SEO people really thrills me. And so that's a lot of the connections that I have today and how we've kind of built up over the years and stayed connected. So it's definitely a very niche industry and one that's definitely hard to break into, but for those that have the passion and desire, it's definitely very rewarding and fun. I always say one of the things that kept me in SEO for so long is it's Google. If it stayed the same all the time and it never changed, I think I would get bored and maybe want to leave. The fact that Google is always changing and there's always something new and you're never done. Like, great, you're number one today. Well, what about tomorrow? You know, there's always that you need to keep optimizing. You need to keep working it or you do lose. And even in the kind of the technical space, if I walked away for 6 months and didn't keep learning, my abilities and my skills would immediately diminish because of how quickly things evolve and change, that if you're not staying up on those changes and new techniques and the new algorithm updates and what's going on and what's working or not, you could get left behind so quickly. It's one of those things where you can't just set it and forget it. You have to keep learning. You have to stay motivated. You have to stay hungry. And I'm a big gamer. So to me, SEO is like the professional gaming because you're playing that competition every day against your competitors in the SERP. So, you know, am I number one today? Am I number two today? Where am I at? And so it's that constant, it feeds me of what I need and what motivates me is that desire to always be number one. And with SEO, you get that every day. And so that's a lot of what's kept me passionate and drives me to keep wanting to learn more and get more out of it. It's a very thrilling and exciting industry, but it's not for everybody. If you don't like change and you don't like constant reworking of stuff, then it may not be for you. But if you like that stuff, then SEO is great.
I love that analogy, like professional gaming. Like it's like it is. You get to see kind of the outputs of your inputs pretty quickly in the SEO game, or sometimes pretty slowly, but you have to trust that they're there.
Like Google is the environment. So your environment is Google and your competition is your other players, the brands that are competing against, the people that are ranking in those particular SERPs. So to me, it's, you know, your game environment, and then you've got your, you know, because within any game environment, you got your roles, you got your, you know, limitations. And so as long as you're playing within those roles and you've got your competition, you've got to try to knock out. And so in a way, it's absolutely like playing a game every day, but with at a very high level and professional aspects to it.
That's really cool. You mentioned earlier, it's kind of like the direction that SEO is going right now is unspecific. We don't know exactly where the paths are leading to. We don't know exactly even how many paths there are. And it's evolving quicker than ever. Yeah. But how much does your experience of the early days of SEO before, you know, there were search engines, like, are you seeing parallels between kind of almost like having to learn again from scratch, like new techniques, new tactics? Like, do you feel like there are a lot of similarities in the early days of SEO and a bit ironically in these very like advanced, like very kind of chaotic days of SEO that we're in right now?
You know, the one thing that's kind of remained the same for me is still topics. You know, in the early days of the internet, people would search and there was a lot of 1, 2, 3 word searches because people just didn't understand how to search yet. Yeah. And so for a lot of the first couple of years, you would rarely get searches even over 3 to 5 words. Like 5 words was like, oh my God, somebody typed in 5 words into a search. Like, oh, that's so amazing. Where nowadays, because of the advent of voice search and conversation search and all these other personalization, you're getting full strings, full sentences now in search, which is obviously mind-blowing for how they're able to interpret and process all that. So the search engines have done a tremendous job over the years of understanding the words, but even that entire phrase or sentence that they're pulling in, they're trying to apply that to a topic and what that idea is. And then they're relating those topics with entities. So everything still ties back to a central theme of like, well, what are they talking about? What is this search for? And so they have to try to still recognize those words and then apply that to some sort of context of either what's the topic they're talking about and then, or is there entities involved and then start to map all that together. So as much as things evolved over the years of like, now they can understand more words and they can understand the context and they can understand so much more, it still ties back to like, how does that relate to the search and how does that search pertain to the millions of pages that we have in our index to serve up? Like they have to derive some sort of topic or precision within those words to be able to know which pages make sense for that intent. So it still ties back to topics in a way. And they always talk about topical relevance. And really nowadays with entities as well, that as much as it's evolved over the years, there's still some degree of like when somebody's searching for, I need a new rug. Okay, well, the topic is rug. Okay, so what do we know about rugs? So then they start to layer it back. And that's just evolved over the years, but it hasn't changed in that much sense, is that there still needs to find the real value behind the search and what that intent is. I think they're doing a much better job today of understanding the intent, which has certainly evolve people's search habits. But I think that's a lot of what we're seeing right now within the industry is that search habits are changing again, such as like in the early days when it was just a couple simple keywords and then we moved into longer tail, even some sentences. Now we're starting to see even more conversations and you're seeing more people are comfortable using full voice searches now. So the idea that somebody's typing in a couple of keywords is gone. Yeah. And the sense of like, now you have to fulfill you have to really understand what that person wants and fulfill that need for them and serve that intent. And so content has certainly changed the way we optimize. Whereas before we would optimize content for like a single keyword or like, what do you want this to rank for? You know, and you'd have a keyword in mind and you would optimize that whole page for that keyword. Like that's not the strategy anymore. You have to optimize for the intent. You have to cover the breadth of that topic and provide enough information because it's not that single word anymore. It could be a slew of combinations of words that all tie together that end up serving up your page for that intent. So trying to isolate a single keyword or trying to rank for a phrase, I don't think is the ideal method anymore. You really want to be conversational now. The expansion of diversity of keywords is just growing and growing. And I think, you know, as people start to realize like you're optimizing for humans, and as long as you're optimizing for humans, the search algorithms will find that and serve up your content for the intent of that users when they are typing something in or doing some sort of voice search. So I think over the years it's evolved, but a lot of the foundation is still the same. You still have to cover that topic. You still have to provide value And I think over the years, I'm applauding Google's efforts for what they've been able to do in that area of understanding language and intent, and really serving up something that is helpful and valuable. As much as people want to knock Google all the time, like, oh, the results aren't as good as, honestly, like, the results are probably better now than they were 10 years ago. As somebody who's been watching the search results for a decade or two decades now, you know, very closely, results back in the Wild West days, like, I controlled 7, 8, you know, at Motor Trend, we had multiple magazines and we would control for, you know, certain keywords, 7 out of the 10 listings would just be our properties. So we would dominate SERPs, and nowadays just not that way anymore. And dominating with the same domain or same content, which nowadays that does not fly anymore. So in a way, I'm applauding their efforts to make things more accurate and helpful for people without just regurgitating the same information over and over again. So I like where they're going. I think they have a lot more competition nowadays. So it's not like they can just sit back and not do anything and let their competition steal their market share.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to continue to evolve. I'm excited to see how things shape out here with this DOG, the DOJ, and you know, where Google's going to be in a couple years from now, whether or not they're still going to be that, you know, 90%, 87% market share, you know, is going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's fascinating. As you're talking about search behavior changing, I'm sitting here thinking about like how I search now, and you're right. It's a lot more like conversational or like question asking.
People also ask. Before, I used to never use the people also ask a lot. That's becoming so much more helpful. Yeah. And then you see those other conversations. I explore now in the people also ask. I find that to be a lot more helpful now. It's interesting to see how over the years, Google has surfaced up more of that information and made that more prominent. And I think there's a lot of value in that. And that's helped to train people, because they type in a simple keyword and then people also ask. And now they start to phrase their conversations more.
Right.
And then they start to see those questions, and then that becomes the search. So I do think that, you know, Google has done a good job of helping to train people over the years. And we see that continuing to evolve with these new platforms too. TikTok now, just to mention TikTok really quick. Google obviously has mentioned them several times, that they're starting to cut into their market share, especially with the younger audiences. Mm-hmm. So younger audiences now aren't even using traditional search to begin their research or to look something up. Some of them are just going straight to social and doing searches through there. So it's definitely evolving, and we're entering a time where I think the user base is going to be dictating where things are going. That's why, as much as Google and others would like to think that they're the ones driving the seat, you know, in the driver's seat, I don't think that's the case. I think for where things are going right now, it's really in the hands of the users and where those eyeballs are going to be at.
That's fascinating perspective. So I'm curious, in your day-to-day, tactically, how are you thinking about this at Seamless? And then maybe the follow-up to that is, what about somebody who doesn't have the years of experience and expertise that you have? Somebody who's maybe trying to crack into this space, or a brand that's trying to leverage SEO more, how would you encourage them to get started when it feels like so much is changing right beneath our feet?
At Seamless, you know, we've been kind of really focused over the last year on our content. Prior to that, we weren't really focusing that much on the content side of it. And we realized that there's a lot of value in educating, you know, both the customers and the audience there. So we really started honing in on our content about a year ago, where we took a hard step back and said, hey, what is this content value? You know, what are we offering people here? And really took a hard look at it and said, are we really offering something that's, you know, providing more substance to this conversation, or are we just putting out content for the sake of fulfilling a gap, or because our competitors have it? And we realized that that was the case. And so seeing where search was going and what the users were looking for and what the engines want to serve up to users, we realized we had to do better. And so we took a hard look at ourselves and started removing anything that wasn't adding value. We started improving the stuff that did offer some sort of value. How can we improve those and make those better? Anything new that we create, we put substantial research and individual expertise and insights, because we want to give people real specific opinions of users that are valued. We don't want to just put out, you know, the same thing that everybody else is saying for the sake of like, oh, we have to have this. We're really trying to find insightful information that's going to really fulfill people's needs. And in return, we're seeing that benefit in the search engines, that by making content that is actually helpful and meaningful and providing value, the search engines are seeing that and they're rewarding us for it as well. So we've been seeing over the last year, traffic going up, backlinks, earning more backlinks naturally, earning more authority, getting higher rankings. So for us, we see that creating content that is meaningful and helpful and valuable is certainly way more substantial than a quantity of content that just covering everything and doesn't really add anything. And so we've taken a really hard look at our offering, and now we're really making it a strong point to only put out high quality stuff. We're not in the business of just quantity over quality. We really want to make things that are, if it's not really adding value to the conversation, we shouldn't even be making it. And so we've really gone almost a 180 in where we were at before, because it was set to where, oh, we have to just put out content because everybody else is. And so we've really taken a hard look at that approach and said, no, this is in the long term not going to be substantial or be able to be sustained, where we think now what we're doing has much more sustainability and long-term growth. So we're very encouraged by where things are going and what we're working on here at Seamless.
I think that's fascinating. I think that's refreshing perspective to hear, because I do feel like the industry kind of was more accepting or even encouraging several years ago. It's like, publish as many SEO pages as you can. Let the, it's okay if it's not written for human consumption. It's going to drive traffic. And so that's just a really refreshing perspective. So thanks for that. The follow-up question to that was, brands who are maybe younger or just starting to think about SEO, or individuals thinking about getting into SEO, where would you encourage them to start?
So yeah, we've tried out a bunch of different tools and services. We looked at some of the, content optimization tools and writing tools. I mean, we've tried everything from, the ChatGPT to Perplexity to some of these other niche tools out there. And they all, have maybe a benefit and say that they're going to take your SEO to the next game and all. What we have found is most of the time they don't work for us. We've tried out a bunch of them and we've published, the stuff, and it doesn't really gain any traction or get anywhere. And so we end up removing it or consolidating it. We've looked at a lot of the stuff, and what we've found is nothing right now replaces human intervention, human touch. As much as those tools are great at organizing and they're great for doing research, we love using them for brainstorming ideas, maybe creating outlines, doing summaries. Sometimes what we'll do is when we're writing a new piece, we will submit through, there's a service called Haro, which is Help a Reporter Out. And so we'll submit for, a request for some feedback from experts. We'll get 6, 7, a dozen different inputs and feedback from those resources back to us. We'll sometimes use an AI tool to help summarize all that input for us so that we can, quickly be able to digest it. We don't use it to then write for us. We just want it to help summarize things up for us, maybe give us an outline or some potential topic ideas within that content. But outside of that, then we have real human writers actually writing for us. What we have found is nothing can replace the human writers, the insight, the perspective, the experience. And that's really what we found is more valuable than some of these tools. And I know there's I've read tons of LinkedIn posts and other ones that are like, oh man, you just go to these tools, put in a keyword, put in a title, and it'll just, you just crank them out and just add them to your site. I would really recommend not doing that. Google does not seem to be favoring that content very well. And if anything, you might see a quick ramp up, which would be exciting. And then you'll probably see things start to plateau and then probably decay over time. And so what we have found is it's good to have something there, but it's not great long term. And if you really want that, every piece of content typically has a life cycle. You'll put something out, it'll have a life cycle, unless you're adding more value back into that content because conversations change. Maybe there's new information's come out. There may be new perspectives around that topic. If you're not updating that piece with those new perspectives and new information, over time, it's going to decay and you're going to lose to somebody who is including that information. So even for information and content we produce, one of our big initiatives right now is twofold. So, and this is definitely a great thing for anybody out there. If you're making content today, what we're doing is either one, we took a long, hard look at our content. We're either one, optimizing our existing content because you already have this content out there. Google's already indexed it. They've already seen it. I would take anything that's getting any traffic or traction today and keep improving it. Make it better. Add more to it because if you just set it and forget it and think you're just going to walk away and it's going to keep getting traffic forever, it's not. It'll eventually lose over time. And so one of your biggest opportunities is your own existing content. Keep optimizing that content, making it better. We say right now about twice a year, we go through refreshes. So once every 6 months, we go back, look at that. Are we still covering enough? Is it still getting what it needs? What is it losing to? What do we need to add to this to regain or to earn more? So re-optimizing your existing content, extremely valuable. Almost, I would say in some regards, more valuable than new content, because new content, there's a little bit of a period where it's got to get ranked and they're going to see how it does. And then if it doesn't get picked up, then there's definitely opportunities with new content, but there's also some potentials for, you know, not getting much value out of it. Whereas something that's already existing definitely has more potential. So we say we take our existing content way serious and say, we have to continue to improve this all the time. This is what we already have out there. Like, people can see this. It's front facing. So is this representative of the brand? Is this representative of our voice? Are we putting out good information? Is there something that we can add to this? So we're always looking at our existing content, one. Two, any new content that we're doing, we've increased our standard by like tenfold. What I tell people, all the writers now, is AI created a new standard. That is our benchmark now. Everybody has access to AI. Everybody can put that on their site. So that now is the starting point. We have to do better than that. So I said, you go out there, go see what that AI is going to, if you want, put in your stuff and see what information that gives you so that you know that that's what you got to beat. That's what you got to do better than. And so I always tell the writers, if we're not beating what the AI can do, then it's not going to work. And so that's our standard now, is anything new has to be done better than anything that AI can do. And two, optimize the existing stuff, because that is already what your customers are seeing, and that's what's already getting traction. If you do those two things, there will definitely be benefit and gains coming.
I love that. Like, AI is kind of setting the floor, maybe even potentially raising the floor a little bit. I think you're exactly right that AI shouldn't be used for creating content. I probably sound like a broken record to anybody that listens to all these episodes, but my whole kind of drumbeat right now is that AI is great for operational efficiencies. It should not replace creativity at this point. I think humans are also better at discerning AI written content than anybody anticipated. I think we're to the point where a lot of times humans know better than you would expect when they are reading something that was written by AI or not. And I don't know how exactly to explain that. I don't know why exactly that is, but
you just don't hear you don't hear the substance behind it. It's just words on a page.
Yeah. It's weird, but I think it's true. So a lot of good insights there. I appreciate that advice, as do I'm sure the listener. So last question, Sal, we always like to ask all of our guests, what's one unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
That everything can be tracked. You know, attribution and tracking is so hard. And as much as people like, oh, we've got these, oh, you just put this UTM, or you put this in your funnel, it's so hard to track and really get good funnel conversions. Like, I would love to be, and no offense, but GA4 is not helpful either. Like, oh my gosh, like the old GA was so much better. I could see my path so much easier. I know there's stuff's there. It's just not as easy to use. So GA4 doesn't make it any more helpful. But yeah, attribution and tracking, especially within the SEO world, it's so difficult. I would love to be able to know, like, every time I make a change, what that value was or what I got out of it. It's not like that. And, you know, unlike the paid world where you make a campaign, you can see how much you spent on it, you can see what you got from it. There's a definitive ROI. With SEO, I mean, it's extremely difficult to pin any ROI to anything, to know that those changes you did 3 weeks ago are having any effect now. Because often you make changes and you have to wait 3 weeks to maybe even several months to really see that traction, because Google's not crawling every page every day. And people like to think that, like, oh, everything's trackable and everything's just measurable. And it's like, yeah, it's not as easy and as definitive as people think. And I know a lot of times, you know, it sounds so simple, like, well, they came from Google, just look at the referral source or whatever. And it's like, depending on where they go, you know, if it comes in with a query string, some sites, like, we have problems in our site with it dropping query strings. So we lose sometimes UTM tracking, or we lose some, there's always something that could happen. They click off somewhere, the browser does something, attribution just gets dropped so easy. And as much as people think that everything's trackable on the web and it's all just 100% efficient, It's not. And my biggest frustrations are often with attribution and tracking. I know, especially in the B2B world, you want to have everything tracked. You want to have like attribution on everything. I would love to as well. It just doesn't usually happen.
Yeah. And all of that is why I am such a big fan of self-reported attribution. I think like that's really the only way you ever get, or maybe you get closer to real attribution. Sometimes I feel like people's own recall is even not as good as we would all like it to be. So who knows? But I like that opinion. That's a good one. So thanks for that.
No worries.
Sal, if people want to learn more from you or more about Seamless, what's the best way to do that?
Oh, definitely LinkedIn. On our LinkedIn website, we've got a Seamless page there. We're always putting out new information. We're always sharing our blogs. I'm also on LinkedIn. I do share information about SEO, sometimes about content marketing. Got my finger on the pulse. So if anybody wants to learn anything about SEO, I'm always happy to share some insights and pick some people's brains because I love talking about SEO.
That's incredible. Well, Sal, thank you so much today for talking about SEO. Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour. To all of our watchers and listeners, thanks for enjoying another episode. Until next time, same time, same place. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.